Judges chapter number 16 in our Bibles this morning or this evening, and I've been going through, of course, preaching through Hebrews 11 on the men and ladies of God of faith, and we've been going through the life of Samson. And man, we look at Samson's life, and I'll be honest with you, as I've looked at Samson's life again, as I preached through it again, I shake my head and wonder, how in the world could God use Samson? How in the world does Samson get into the great hall of faith? And as we come to Judges chapter number 16 this evening, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. And was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither, and they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quiet all the night, saying, In the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. And then look down in at the very end of the chapter. It says in verse number 30, And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him there in Zoran and Eshtolin, the burying place of Manoah his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. Father, tonight, please use this message in our lives. I pray that we would not give in to our temptation, we would not give in to our lust. But Father, I pray tonight that we'd be sober, be vigilant because of our adversary, the devil. Help me as I preach. Lord, give me power to convey your truth. Let me say the things that need to be said. And Lord, the things you want me not to say, I pray I would be obedient to your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. The last couple days, I've learned a very important truth that I think most of you would understand and comprehend when it comes to air conditioning. I want to thank the Lord for Brother Jay and what a blessing he has been Sunday. Amen, ladies, because the air conditioning was not working back there. And many of you came in. And you started, I'm not going to pick on anybody, but somebody that's very near and dear to me came in and said, something's not right here, and complaining, right? It was nice and cool in the auditorium. I wasn't suffering. But I think about back there and back there, the air conditioner was not working. Brother Jay got up, and he started to look at different things and diagnosed the problem. The problem was all the air vents that your pastor had turned off. And I thought, you know what, let's close those vents, no big deal. And it'll be cooler in the other rooms because I really was trying to get all you ladies to like me. And I really wanted you guys to support your pastor instead of being on me about how hot it was back there. So my thinking was close those vents. Well, Brother Jay looked at it and he told me Sunday evening, he said, Steve, he said, listen, you've got to make sure there is proper airflow when it comes to your heating and air units. If there's not proper airflow, then something's going to go wrong and the pipes are going to freeze over and it's going to be a big old ice bucket. And boy, I took that to heart and I said, I'll never do that again. Well, I called Brother Jay on Monday. I said, Brother Jay, I said, I'm working over here at the house, and I looked at the temperature gauge. It's 85. It's hot. The air conditioning unit's been on all day, and I don't know what's wrong with it. And he came over, and he took the top off, and man, it was a bigger ice box than the other. I mean, it was a zoo. And he started to look at things and diagnose things. Well, most of you know that the floors went in over there. And man, the men were working on those floors, and they had their big old saw that they were cutting the different things. And right where they were cutting it was right next to the intake area. And all the pieces and all the boards were going onto that air filter, and it was stuffing it up. It was blocking it up. There was a lack of proper airflow. And what happened? Man, it froze over, right? What happens in our life when there is a lack of proper airflow? What happens in our spiritual life when we reach a status and a plateau where we are simply living on yesterday's fumes instead of claiming the power of God that we need on a daily basis? That's exactly what took place here in Judges chapter number 16. Samson, a man of great might, a man of great power, a man of great strength, is a man that gives in to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And tonight I want us all to take away from the life of Samson. I want us to take away that truth and that thought that we ought not to give into the flesh, but we ought to yield to the Spirit. The Bible says the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. The Bible says that we're at odds with our spiritual nature and our fleshly nature. They're at odds. They do not agree. They do not get along. And there is a real battle that is raging in the hearts and in the minds and in the lives of each and every believer. And Samson was a man that instead of having victory over his lust, instead of having victory over his thoughts, he was a man that gave in and pursued the things that will pass away. Samson had great physical power, but he never harnessed that power for a spiritual life. He was a man that had great potential, but he never lived up to it because he was emotionally controlled and not spiritually controlled. I wonder tonight, are you controlled by the Spirit? Are you an individual that is pursuing your fleshly and selfish desires? Would you notice here in the life of Samson in this chapter, notice first of all the decision that Samson makes in verse 1. It says, "Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her." You know, Samson's been in trouble. We preached the last 3 or 4 weeks on Samson. I mean, he's been in trouble big time. Why? Because Samson makes a choice to get into the place where of temptation. He makes the decision to play with fire. He makes the decision to have pet sins in his life. He makes a choice to go to Gaza, again, a place where the Philistines were at, a place where the enemies of God dwelt. He makes the decision to walk away from the security of the will of God and again exposes himself to the temptations of the world. Let me remind you, child of God, tonight, whenever we step out of the will of God, whenever we make the choice to walk away from God's protection in our spiritual lives, we're going downhill. And he went down to Gaza. What happened in Gaza? He saw a harlot. He was immoral with her. He was impure. He made a mess of his life because he made the decision to entertain temptation. The Bible says that we're not to give place to the devil. The Bible says that we're to yield ourselves alive unto God and not yield ourselves to the world. We are to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. The principles in the Word of God are true each and every day, but what do we have to do? We have to make the decision to stay away from it. I wonder tonight, are you making the choice to go to Gaza? Are you making the choice to entertain sin? I think about some. I remember when I was growing up, there was a convenience store that we stopped at every Friday. And we would have our little paper out. And when we'd get done with the paper out, we'd stop at Convenience 101. And we even had our own jingle for Convenience 101. And I'm talking about that. We'd go there every time Friday when we're done with the paper out because they had penny candy. Penny candy, by the way, penny candy's awesome. And I like those cherry bombs. You know what I'm talking about? Those. I mean, they probably don't even taste good any longer. You know, my taste buds, I guess, have changed. But you know the Sour Patches. Those are good still. I love the fruity Tootsie Rolls. You know what I'm talking about? Hey, plain Tootsie Rolls are awesome. But I like grape Tootsie Rolls. I like watermelon Tootsie Rolls. I like sour apple Tootsie Rolls. I like those cool kind of Tootsie Rolls, right? And they're a penny a piece. So my mom would be like, all right, if you're, 13 and above, you get 50 cents. If you're, 12 to 10, you get 40 cents. And she just break it down like, it was awesome, And we come back with our stack of candy. Well, I'll never forget Mr. Bill owned the convenience store. And Mr. Bill was one of these guys that probably 40 years old, had an awesome goatee, was a rough, tough biker dude that loved us kids. And I remember many times we would be over there at Convenience 101 loading up on candy. And he'd be like, hey, you want to see my pet snake? And man, he'd get that big old snake out. I'm talking about, man, these things, I think it was a python, one of those big ones that, eat big old rats and everything. And man, he had that thing out, and he'd be touching that thing, and he'd be playing with that thing. And I looked at Mr. Bill, I thought, man, that guy's pretty cool because he has a snake. But you know what? The older I've gotten, the more I think about how dumb he was. Why? Because he was playing with fire. You know, people that have pet snakes, there's something missing upstairs, right? Why in the world would you want to have a pet snake? You know what snakes are supposed to do? They're supposed to eat things. They're supposed to bite things. Rattlesnakes are not your friend. They're your enemy. They're going to bite you, and you're going to die from a rattlesnake bite. And let me just say, what happened with Samson? Samson made the decision to play with his pet sin. He made the decision to go to a place of weakness, a place of temptation. He made the decision. Nobody made him. Let me say, child of God, you can't blame anybody for your sin. You can't blame your coworker. You can't blame your boss. You can't blame your family. You can't blame your in-laws. You can't blame your spouse. You can't blame your parents. You're the one that makes the choice to react to the circumstances of life. You're the one that makes the decision. Oh, that we would live in a day and time when people would own their decisions. When we look at the news, you turn on the news, and man, there's a shooting, so what happens? Everybody goes and robs Walmart. How crazy is that in Charlotte? Just because, you know, an armed guy was, it's a zoo, right? But what are we seeing? We're seeing that nobody's taking responsibility for their decision, their actions, and what happens? It leads to chaos. We are living in that day and time today. Why? Because, hey, it's not my fault. It's the cop's fault, right? It's the president's fault. It's the governor's fault. It's my boss's fault. It's my family's fault. No, it's your decision. You make the choice. Samson made the decision to go down to Gaza. And what happened there in Gaza? We see that he saw an harlot. Again, wrong place at the wrong time. See something you ought not see. And he's immoral. And the Bible again says that we ought to flee youthful lust. We ought to stay away from fornication. The Bible says, keep thyself pure. Let me remind you tonight, child of God, that you have no business being immoral. You have no business looking at pornography. We have no business partaking in immoral deeds. We need to be pure. Oh, that we would have a pure church. Oh, that we would be separated from the world. Oh, that we would be holy like God would have us to be holy. But Samson is immoral there in Gaza. And so what happens? Man, everybody finds out Samson's here. By the way, Samson was not hard to miss, all right? I mean, can't you see this guy? He puts all those gates on his shoulders. Man, this guy must have been ripped. He must have big old broad shoulders. Everybody knew Samson. He's the kind of guy that would not fit in normal airplane seats, right? He's the guy that you're going on the airplane, and that you're like, I hope he doesn't sit next to me, right? Because I sat next to John Cena, the WWE wrestler. And I hated it. You say, why, Pastor? Because I was, you know, one of those small little commuter jets, you know, two seats, right? And I was in the emergency exit. I thought, man, it's going to be great. Plenty of leg room. Nope, John Cena sat next to me and took up the whole seat, man. I mean, I still smell his deodorant every once in a while. It's awful, right? And that was, you know, that was Samson, man. He was big, right? Everybody knew who Samson was, right? And here he comes to Gaza. He hangs out in Gaza. And everybody's talking, let's get Samson, let's kill Samson. So they lock those gates. Man, they bar down, they put the chains on their gate, and what happens? We see them on the decision, but notice second of all here, the distraction in verse number 3. It says, and Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. Man, this guy goes, and I don't know if you've ever seen big doors, gates, and everything. But man, can you see this scene? I mean, me and Leah and Mila today went to some lumber store over on Meridian Street, right by the Texas A&M. I forget the name of it, but Wilson's, and been around forever, right? Went to Wilson's, and I was looking for a couple doors. I went in there, and man, they had some awesome doors. I'm talking about, you know, big old ones, big old $6,500 for a front door. I was like, nah, it's probably not my budget. But I'm talking about huge things, right? And I looked at those things, and man, I opened them up, and I mean, just to pull it open, man, you gotta be in shape just to do that, right? I mean, man, Samson gets these big old things, throws them on his shoulders, and then he goes marching up a hill with it. An amazing strength. But I see here in this temptation, I see there was a distraction that God tried to throw in his way. Why? Because God realized, Samson, you're going the wrong way. You're heading the wrong path. You're making the wrong decisions. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that you are able, but will with a temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. God will allow you to have an escape route. You say, Pastor, I just had to sin. No, you didn't have to sin. You made the choice to. God always provides an out. God always gives you an open door to do what's right. You know, I think about Daniel there in Daniel chapter number 1. Daniel is taken captive. away from his mom, away from his dad, away from his preacher, away from his home, away from all the things that surround him for comfort, and yet Daniel still purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. Hey, Joseph, taken away from home, taken away from a godly dad, and yet Joseph goes to Egypt, and what does Joseph do in the midst of temptation? He said, how could I do this great wickedness and sin against my God? You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying, hey, Samson had an opportunity to turn around. He had an opportunity to change his life, and yet he continues going downward in his life. Why? Because he refused to heed the speed bumps in his life. Listen, you refuse to deal with the speed bumps, the gates in your life, the bars that God's trying to get a hold of you. Hey, listen, you're going to ruin your life. You're going to mess your life up. We see what happened. There was a distraction. God always gives you an out. You don't have to sin. You've got to make the choice to do what's right. We see the decision. Number two, we see the distraction. Notice thirdly, the dialogue. It says in verse number 4, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The name Sorek is, I Googled it, and I think it was Bible Hub is where I got it from. But Sorek, I was curious what the definition of Sorek was. So I Googled it, you know, what does Sorek mean? You know what it means? It means it was the city of the vineyard. What was Sorek? It was a vineyard. It was a wine press. It was where the grapes would grow. It was the place of tremendous rain, and the river, I think it was 8 miles from the Dead Sea, if my memory serves me from when I looked at it, and just a very fertile place. And where's Samson? He's in, again, wrong place. Remember the Nazarite vow? He wasn't supposed to eat any grapes, wine, fruit of the vine, all that was forbidden. Again, he's in the wrong place. One preacher said this, it says, the valley of Sorek was the valley of seduction. And there he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And in verse number 5, it says, or verse number 4, he loved a woman named Delilah. And by the way, I've never met a lady named Delilah, but I wonder, you know, some cats named Delilah, just like Jezebel, but never met a lady named Delilah. But here's Delilah, right? Samson's in love with her. Pitter-patter, you know, may talk to her. He's like, man, that's the girl for me, right? I'm madly in love. It says in verse number 5, and the lords of the Philistines came up under her and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if thou bind me with 7 green wheat withs, that were never dry, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. And then the story goes on. We notice the dialogue. What happened? Samson, you're in the valley of Sorek, you're in the valley of the vineyard, you're in a place where you ought not be, you're in love with a girl you ought not be in love with, and now the dialogue, you just see it's going downhill. And let me just say, church, let me just say this. You know what keeps me awake at night sometimes as I pray for you guys? Is that some of you right now are enjoying the conversations of Delilah's. It may not be a relationship, but it may be an activity. It may be secret things that nobody knows about. I don't know what it may be in your life, but what are you comfortable around? What are you conversing with today? What are you dialoguing? What conversations are you having today? You say, Pastor, I can handle it. No, you can't. No, you can't. I can't handle it. We've got to come to the place in our life where we're not going to have dialogues with the devil. We're not going to talk to the devil and pretend that he's our friend. Why? Because he wants to kill you. The thief coming up but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am coming that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I wonder, are you having a dialogue with the devil? I'll never forget a couple years ago, I was preaching a meeting up in Michigan. I was by myself. Christy and the kids were home. And I'll never forget, I preached in the morning service and met an older man and had a tremendous conversation with him. Didn't know who he was. He introduced himself and just went on my merry way, met everybody else, and I went out to eat with the pastor. And he said to me, he said, Brother Schweike, he said, did you meet this older gentleman? I said, yeah. I said, we had a tremendous conversation, good talk. And he said, you know who his son is, right? I said, no. I said, who's his son? He told me who his son was. A well-known and if I could say this in a nice way, a big name preacher. All right, understand there's no big name preachers, and there's no big name Christians. We're all flesh, we're all human, and just because you have a big church doesn't mean you're the top dog, all right? And but this man thought that he was the top dog. He had a Bible college. He boasted about seeing thousands come to his church, and really just he had it going. Well, he sinned and was immoral with an underage girl, and he's sitting in jail right now. And Sunday night I went and I talked again with that man. I said, brother, I said, can I ask you something? I said, I'm just curious. I said, I know your son, know what happened. I never met him, but I said, I know what's going on. I said, what happened? He told me this. He said, Pastor, he said, Preacher, he said, this girl came into his office, and she looked at him, and she said, I'm going to be the one that destroys your ministry. I'm going to get you to fall. That's what his son told Grandpa. You know what this preacher did? Instead of getting up out of that chair and leaving that office, he continued to have a dialogue and continued to counsel that girl. Downward spiral. I was preaching up in New York, Rome, New York, back a couple years ago again. And I was talking to the pastor there. We were just talking about this situation. He said, Preacher, he said, let me tell you what happened. He said, one day I was in my office. He said, a lady came in, and it was right before church. He said, she came in. I was getting my sermon notes, getting ready to leave. She plopped down right in front of me, and she looked at me. She said, Pastor, do you ever think we'd be more than just friends? He said, I grabbed my Bible. He said, I jumped out of my seat. He said, I ran out the door, and as I'm leaving the door, I shouted behind me, no way. And he started running. You know, I after talking to Pastor Carpenter, I thought, you know what? There's a man that knew how to run. You know, sometimes the best thing to do is to run. You know, it's not always the best thing to stand there and fight. No, there's times in our lives where we just need to get up and run. We need to get up and go. We don't need to have a dialogue with temptation. We don't need to sit there on the computer and be like, oh, you know, I'm not going to go to this website, but I'm just going to go and I'm going to browse and I'm just going to go and just see what. No, we don't need to have a conversation and let temptation be in our path. We need to get up and we need to go, and we don't need to be like Samson. What happened? He had a dialogue with Delilah, and that dialogue led to his death. You want to ruin your marriage? You want to ruin your kids? You want to destroy the will of God for your life? Have a dialogue with the devil. Downhill spiral for this man. He got comfortable being around the world. He got comfortable in his conversation. And downward he went. I'm reminded there in Proverbs chapter number 7. I was reading it this afternoon about Solomon as he's talking and giving some advice to his son. And he said to his son, he said, you know, as I stood at my window, he said, I'm overlooking the city of Jerusalem. He said, I saw a young man that was hanging with the wrong crowd, with the simple crowd. And he said, it was toward evening time when he thought nobody was around. And he said, he went down just to look and just to visit, just to be hanging out. And he said, he went down to the wrong place at the wrong time. The wrong lady came by. And what happened? She seduced him. He gave him to temptation. And the end of the passage is, man, his liver was stoned through with a dart. His life was destroyed. Why? Because he was willing to go have a dialogue with the devil. Hey, this evening, child of God, don't go that way. Stay away from sin. Stay away from your flesh. Stay away from the things that will pass away. Be focused and tuned into the will of God. Don't waste your life like Samson wasted his life. We see, number one, we see the decision to go and live for the things that will pass away. We see the distraction. God tried to put those gates in to remind him of the importance of fleeing, but boy, the dialogue took place. He continued to go, continued to live for the things that will pass away. Look in verse number 7, though. It says, and Samson said unto her, she said, tell me how I can know your great strength, right? Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be, notice the statement, as another man. Notice fourthly this evening, notice the deception of sin. Samson's ripped, right? He's got the muscles. But what does Samson thinks he's all that. Yeah, I'm not like everybody else. It'll never happen to me. I won't do that. Hey, other people may struggle. Everybody else may have to do. And by the way, I'm talking about immorality, all right? That's so many times we think, well, I'll never do that. Oh, you better watch out. Let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. Let me just say, I've been around the block a little bit, man. It's the reality is you're not the exception to the rule. And when you think you're all that, You're like, well, I'm strong. I my Bible muscles, and I got my prayer muscles, and I got my working for God muscles, and look at all that I'm doing for God. Look at how big, tough, rough, and strong I am. Hey, you better watch out, because you're going downhill. You better watch out, because, boy, God will put you on the shelf when you think you're all that, and you're not, dear friend. We're just a bunch of clay in the Master's hand on the potter's wheel, and if it's not for God's touch, the touch of the Master's hand, we're going to be on the shelf doing nothing. It's all by God's grace and by God's power, and yet Samson thought, I am all that. If you were to bind my hair up with these, or, you know, take those ropes and tie me up, I'd be like everybody else. Man, he's deceiving himself. It says in verse number 11, notice again, it says, and he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never will occupy, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Can't you hear the laughter in his voice? I'll be weak. Yeah, throw those on me. Look in verse 13. He says, Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web. And yeah, it's just going downhill. It's going downhill. What's Samson? He's thinking he's all that. Let me remind you again tonight, we're not all that. We're not all that. Look, as the story goes on in verse number 15, it said, and she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Let me just say, just a little side note tonight. Guard your heart. Guard your heart in your relationships. Guard your heart with who you talk to on Facebook. Guard your heart with who you text. Let me just warn those of you that work in a place where you've got a secretary or you're around others of the opposite gender. You better make sure that you're guarding your heart. You better make sure that you're keeping your heart with all diligence for out of the issues of life. Listen, don't get involved with just casual conversations about listen, guard your relationships. Guard your heart. So if you got a desk, I encourage you, man, throw some pictures of your family up, throw your kids up, throw your wife up. Every conversation, talk about your family, how you love your family. Man, guard your heart. She says, Samson, don't you love me? Man, guard your heart. Because, man, you start getting involved in casual conversations about emptiness, and it'll lead to more vain and empty things. Bible says we're going to give account for every idle word. Listen, don't waste it. Don't throw it out the window. Look at verse 16. It came to pass when she pressed him, notice that word, daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart. Daily. Why do we do that? Why do we allow for daily temptations? If you know there's a temptation, then don't go around it. I forget who the evangelist was years ago. Early 1900s, it was I can't remember his name, but he was a well-known evangelist that was saved out of, he was a drunk. I mean, just messed up life. And the guy, it may have been Billy Sunday with the Pacific Garden Mission, one of those guys. And just got saved, on fire for God. And another evangelist was with them. They were in a meeting together, walking down the street. And there was a bar that was right there on the same side of the street they were walking. That evangelist that struggled with that alcohol his life, he crossed the street, walked on the other side of the street, and that other guy looked at him and said, why'd you do that? He said, because you know what? I struggled with it all those years ago, and I don't want to give myself that temptation. He stayed as far away from it as he could. He said, Pastor, I struggle with internet pornography. Then get rid of your iPhone. Get rid of the internet. You don't need it. He said, Pastor, I struggle with bitterness. Well, stop looking at the people you're bitter in their Facebook page. You say, whatever the temptation, get rid of that temptation. Don't be around it. Don't let it daily tempt you. Run from it. Cancel magazine subscriptions. Stop allowing that to influence your life. It was a daily temptation. We know the story there in verse number 17. He says that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I will become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, and they shaved his head. And look in verse number 21, but the Philistines took him, and put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Man, I'll tell you what, you talk about a sad story. Here's a man that had great strength, now in the prison house. Here's a man that had great potential for God, now in the prison house. Folks, I'm pleading with you. Stay away from sensual temptations. I talked to a pastor friend of mine on Saturday, Pastor Meter up there in Connecticut. And he talked about church planning. But right before I got off the phone, Pastor Meter said this. He said, "Hey, Steve." He said, "I talked to Jason." I said, "How's Jason doing?" Jason's been in jail for the last 8 years because of being immoral. He says he gets out in March. He's doing great. Loves the Lord, serving the Lord in prison. You know, that's exactly where Samson's at. He's in the prison. By the way, it's not over for Samson. Aren't you thankful for verse number 22? "Howbeit, the hairs of his head began to grow again after he was shaven." Thank God that it's not over. Thank God that God didn't say, "Well, you're done, your eyes are out, now grind the wheat for the rest of your life." No, it wasn't over. "Howbeit, the hairs began to grow again." You say, "Pastor, I've messed up. I've been immoral, I've been impure, I've sinned. Man, what's the solution? Is there any hope? Is there any forgiveness?" Thank God when David sinned with Bathsheba, he said in Psalm chapter number 51, he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." He said, "God, restore to me the joy of thy salvation." David said, "I've messed up. I've sinned. I've made a mess. Murdered a guy. Man, my life is upside down. Is there any hope?" Thank God there is hope. And by the way, there is victory. And you and I can live in victory. We don't have to live as slaves. We don't have to live as in the dungeon house of our immorality and our sensual desires. You can have the victory tonight. The victory, though, is not in your own strength. The victory is in Christ and Christ alone. And so I'm wondering tonight, child of God, are you going to allow your flesh to interrupt you doing something for the Savior? We see in the life of Samson, there was a decision made, there was a distraction, there was a dialogue, there was a deception, it was daily. But notice in verse 29, notice lastly the disaster. It says, "Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life." Look at the end of verse 31. "And he judged Israel 20 years. You know, I wonder how long Samson was going to lead Israel. He cut short his life because of his sin. You know, you can cut short the power of God. I can make decisions in my life and turn the power of God off in my life and be put on the shelf like Samson was. I don't want that to be the case, and I don't believe you want that to be the case in your life. All right, so if we're going to be used of God, what must we do? We must make the choice to stay away from the valley of temptation. Stay away from the valley of sin. And child of God, let's live in victory. Let's get rid of things that we need to get rid of. Let's break off relationships that need to be broken off. Let's live in the victory that God has provided through Jesus Christ. I wonder tonight, what are you going to do with your sin and with your temptations? Don't be like Samson. Father, I pray tonight that you would have used your word. I know you have, Lord. You used this in my life the last couple days as I've thought on it, meditated upon it, studied it. Lord, help us not to go to Gaza. Help us not to be engaged in wrong conversations. Help us, Lord, to keep ourselves pure. God, we need your help. We need victory. And Father, I pray that you would just use this message, Lord, to preserve a marriage, to preserve a young person's life. Please, would you work? Lord, help us to live in victory tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.